Blog Talk Radio. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives. Tonight we played the Ride of the Valkyries a little longer tonight in honor of Joe Mascola, who portrayed Stefano D'Amira, and we always said this was Stefano's theme. He always conducted to that music whenever he was planning something, and so it's kind of a sad night for the soap fans and bass fans this day. So joining me tonight is Carrie, the Diva, is here with us again. Hi, Carrie. And Anna, Cosby
Hello.
Hooch, is with us too. And I'm Marianne at @mama_hooch. So, yeah, it was sad
pretty
news.
Somber.
I think he passed. Yeah, he passed away Thursday, I think. I mean, the news broke Friday afternoon, but I think he passed away on Thursday. There's a real nice, I had just shared it on my Facebook post, from his wife, wrote something.
Yeah. That's nice.
That was nice. So, yeah. Any thoughts?
It's like, I think, kind of as Days fans that watched it all the way back when he first started on there and stuff, it's like, you know, we always knew the Phoenix would rise again, you know? And it's like, we know that's not going to happen now, you know?
Yeah.
I got kind of choked up. I'm glad you played the music longer, because it was like I got choked up thinking about him. I could picture him conducting, you know, air conducting to the music and everything.
And now we'll never, every time he'd come back, he'd always say, "It's good to be back." And I said, you know, I always thought, and we won't hear that anymore. And there was a tweet from Drake Hogeston, and he said, he did say, the Phoenix will rise. And in a sense, he will.
Well,
and
that's
Yeah, he will rise to rest in peace. So that's another way of looking at it, I guess. But that was a nice tweet from Drake.
He just he both his name and Stefano D'Amira were trending on Twitter worldwide at one point yesterday, so
yeah,
a lot of people.
I know Stefano D'Amira,
I saw both, but hashtag Josh.
Yeah. Oh, would you see both?
Joseph,
okay. That's good.
Joseph Mascola and Stefano D'Amira.
Oh, okay,
and, you know, and of course, you know, a lot of people in Europe know, if not only know him with Days, but Bold and the Beautiful. He played Massimo, I think, on
Massimo Morone.
Yeah. He's well known. He's kind of well known for that too. How long was he on Bold and the Beautiful? In that part,
was he on 5 years? 5 years.
Wow. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Well, then.
So yeah, I mean, even my mother, who does not watch the show really, it's like she knows a little bit about the show and stuff, and even she was like, "Stefano's gone." Oh my gosh, you know. It's just like she even knows who he is, and you know, just a little bit of the show that she's watched, you know, with me a little bit here and there. And so she was really stunned. And when I told her what his age was, she was just shocked, you know, because he just, boy, if anybody kept it together and looked great and projected well up until the very end, it was Joe. That's for sure. But I think it was also poignant that he passed away on the very day that Days of Our Lives script, you know, the air date was talking about Stefano's death. Really terminal.
Yes.
You know, about they were talking about his death and about how he was actually terminally ill and goading Pope instead of, you know, anyway, I don't know.
That's exactly what they were talking about on Friday, kind of around. Yes, it was. They were talking about Stefano dying and, you know, and Joe really did. So, it was. That was kind of coincided there,
And Carrie, did you have any thought? I'll share a story in a minute, but did you have anything you wanted to interject?
No, it was just so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a part of our lives. I mean, even though there was a large gap of time I didn't watch Days, I still, you know, had an affection for it. And then when I came back to it, he was back on, you know, and so it was almost like, really, he's somebody that's been, for those of us who've watched a long time, he's been a household figure, household name, household figure for us, familiar face, even sort of family for all of these years, you know, out most of our lives. So,
And I think anybody that hasn't really watched soaps or maybe only watched a little bit here and there, everybody knows who Stefano is from Days of Our Lives. If you don't know any character, you at least know Stefano.
Yeah. And he had a way, the way he played the character, even though some of the things, many of the things over the years, Elvis, were rather silly and, you know, some of the schemes and some of the things were a little crazy. He always managed to humanize, you know, even at times when he was, you know, just being as evil as he could be, there was still a part of you that was sort of rooting for him, you know, and, you know, they humanized him a lot through his love for his family, even though the character did off half of his kids. But anyway, that's a minor detail, but he managed to, you know, he would have been just a cartoon figure all these years had he not had such great talent and been able to, you know, bring the humanity to Stefano to where you would actually root for him, even though he was a bad guy, you know, you'd still root for him to win in the end. Like, and the great thing too was that all of Salem knew that because he had so much power and so much money and so much knowledge that basically any crazy thing that could happen in Salem could really plausibly be caused by the Demiras. You know, like, it's like, you know, no matter how insane, no matter how crazy, no matter, you know, what, it's like you always knew that Stefano was one up on everybody else. And he always, you know, knew something was going on, you know, knew what was going on. So anyway, it's kind of interesting in that way too.
And he all did it for love of family, you know, still had the whole family, even though he had shown it in a twisted way. It was, you know, for even though most of his children are dead.
And
most of his kids are dead.
Partially or fully responsible for killing them, but, you know, for their demise.
Most of
and,
them,
And, you know,
yeah.
he would put
Let's
the
have,
occasional
like, two...
child, he would put the occasional child on an island for 20 or 30 years, a deserted island, you know, things like that. But, you know, he was also hysterical. I mean, he could do comedy, you know, he could do love. I mean, when
Kate
got together, like for State, you know, Stefano and Kate, he could do the romance thing,
and,
you know, he could do, you know.
And I loved him and seeing the whole father-son dynamic between him and Tony and Teo and Joe. Their act and they're together was just like their father and
magic.
Son. And sometimes I think Teo feels like that he is his, like, father figure. And they're, even though, you know, so, and then even the same with James Scott and the three of them, even those three actors together were always good with EJ, Tony, and I always enjoyed those scenes too. And I know they've been posting different scenes. There was one back way back in the Tony and Renee days. There's a scene between Tony and Stefan. That's really good.
Wow.
Yeah. That they've been playing. And I know Steve Blackwood's been putting up the Bart scenes. Now, there's kind of the funny thing.
Bart,
you know, he called him Boss.
Bart.
Hey, Boss.
I love it. Bart was awesome.
Yeah, Bart's death. I think he put up Bart's death, you know, and Stefano and Tony were there. So, kind of looking back. A lot of things have been, you know, when he tortured, you know, Roman and all the time. Well, he's tortured just about everybody on there. He's like, he's done something too. So, yeah.
But he played the villain.
Thought, you know,
the way a villain
even
should be played.
We, you know, thought, maybe there's some way he would come back. You know, we knew he wasn't.
Yeah.
His health wasn't good for quite a while. And his wife said, and then he did have Alzheimer's, and it's been for the last 4 years. He's had it. Said in her post, yeah, that it's been for 4 years now. So you figure he was struggling with that, and on days just the you know it hasn't been that long ago. He went to the 50th, which was just last year. He went to the 50th thing, and
amazing...
he was just on last year. So,
and they started
even though it was hard for him with his
lines,
but
when they killed Stefano off, quote unquote, they even brought him back as a ghost to appear at times, and even that was not. It's like he still wanted to perform, even though he was losing a lot of his capacity, and in that way, coming as a ghost. He could still keep the integrity of the character and of the actor as well, because they could do isolated scenes that weren't really interacting with the, you know what I mean? Like they were able to integrate his illness and with, you know, find a way to adapt, I guess, his scenes so that he could do that. And I was like, wow, what an inspiration.
And even in his final scenes with Christian Alfonso and with Hope, when she when she killed him, he did. I mean, and you figured he was in his last stages of it, and he stood up and he said his lines and he like yelled at her, you know, how he was going her and everything.
Yes.
He did those. I thought those were some of his better scenes because there were times where you could tell things weren't, you know, he wasn't reading his lines just right or whatever, but he really did well. I can remember on those scenes. So
yes. And I Carrie asked me to share when I met him.
I didn't have.
But I got to meet him.
Wasn't fortunate enough to meet him, but yeah. Yeah, I was sorry that I never got to meet him, but that's great that you did. So.
Yeah. Well, and it was somewhat brief, but it was it was before the Diva, you know, team was able to before we started doing the Day of Days interviews with the cast.
Right.
So it was before we were doing that on site, but it was I think it was my first Day of Days that I attended in 2009, I believe. And he was at the table. There was Lauren, Coslow, Kate, and then Louise Sorrell was in the middle, Vivian, and then he was on the end.
Oh, Vivian.
And so, and when I got to, they give out, usually every year at Day of Days, they give you a bag that has different things in it, little trinkets and stuff, and some things that are like, you know, umbrellas and hand sanitizer and things like that. And then they usually have like a pen and an autograph book, like so that you can, from the event, like you can turn to the page that has the actor on it and get them to, you know, get their autograph. And so I'm sitting here, I know he's coming up and, you know, and I get to the point where I get up to see him and I must say he definitely, the character that he definitely played it larger than life because in person he came across more mild-mannered and gentle, I thought. That was the first thing that struck me. But anyway, so I go to try to find, you know, this book is in alphabetical order, and I literally forgot my alphabet. I was standing in front of Stefano DiMera, you know, and I'm like, I was fumbling through the little book, and I couldn't find his page. And one of the staff, like, that was standing nearby goes, may I help you? And they go, like, right to the page, you know. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this sounds so embarrassed, you know. And then he gets the thing to sign, and he's like, oh, what's your name? And I said, Anna. And I'll never forget, he goes, oh. And I said, I wish it were Anna DeMira. And he said, oh, Anna. He goes, that was my mother's name. He said, what a beautiful name. And he was just so sweet, and he got so tender. You could just see the love of his mother in his eyes. And his parents lived a long time, too. They were married for, what, 80 years or something like that, something crazy. I mean, they both lived very long lives like he did. So, but I just could see the love of his mother, and I thought, oh, I'll never forget that as long as I live, you know. So, anyway, and so, you know, he signed it and everything, and, you know, but it was just really neat to just have that moment to actually, you know, and I'm not, you know, and it's like, I can't believe that I actually fangirled so much that I like couldn't even remember my ABCs, you know, like where would Miss Scolo be in here? You know, M's, I don't know where M is, you know, but it's like, he just kind of had that effect initially on me, but he was very tender and warm. And just, it was interesting though, because, you know, he's so grandiose as Stefano with his accent. And of course, in real life, he didn't have that accent. So he was just a lot more gentle and just kind of, just, mm-hmm. you know, sweet and everything. So anyway, so that was my observation. And I just, you know, Carrie encouraged me to share that. So I wanted to share that with you guys.
Oh,
I was very blessed
very
to be
nice.
Able to meet him.
Well, I have a story from Day of Days, but it wasn't my personal story. It was about Stefano. I remember Dama telling me. She went to a bunch of them, and I think this was the one in 2008. I'm not sure. I think it was the one where Teo was there also.
When Leanne and Teo were
and,
there, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And she had got, I think, a bottle of champagne or a bottle, some kind of liquor for
Dom?
Teo.
Was it Dom? Or was that for Dom?
Yeah, probably. Well, of course.
Yeah.
If not, nothing but the best, you know. But I don't know if she realized that she didn't think about Joe Mascola being there or didn't realize he was going to be there. But anyway, so they're right together there on the same table. So he sees Teo's getting this gift, and Teo opens and he says, and then he went into his Stefano DeMira character and more or less saying to Dama, this is a story from Dama, and it's more or less saying, like, where's Stefano's, you know, like, where's mine? And you mean you didn't dare to bring me a, you know? So I thought that was cute. Now, like, you know, Dama, she got all flustered, and, you know, but as anybody would.
Aww.
At the time. So I
yeah.
thought that was kind of, you know.
Oh,
and then she would say, you know, like, Teo would have to, you know, of course, and then Teo got into it, like, back and forth, like, oh, no, he wasn't going to share.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was, but yeah, uh-huh. they kind of, like, had a little fun with
they
it.
They were teased,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, aww. Yeah. So, but I do remember on set when we used to send stuff to the
yeah.
studio, and we
uh-huh.
would send, like, yes. Oh, yeah, they would actually be drinking, you know, they would be
would
doing
share.
Some of the drinking off. Yeah, they would share during, you know, and then go and do their lines. So, go and do a scene. So,
uh-huh.
yeah. So they would share. So, yeah. So there's a lot of good stories, different stories. I guess
yeah.
a lot of people. And the one that I went to, my very first one in 2011, Joe was supposed to be there, but
aww.
He had there was some kind of flood. He had a some kind of
oh, that's
water
right.
problem or flooding in his
yeah,
home.
Yeah, his house. Yeah.
And they made the announcement that he couldn't be there because there he had problems
right.
and he wasn't going to be able to make it. I'm there. Oh. Because
right.
I was so excited to see him. That was like
aww.
the first line I was going to get into,
uh-huh.
you know, to make sure that I saw him.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So he's going to be missed. And so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we could talk about some of the show. Maybe, I don't know, start with
okay.
Stefano, the whole, now the revelation
yeah.
that Rafe and Sean were finding out. They went through all these emails about Stefano's
oh,
doctor.
Yeah,
yeah
mm-hmm.
and they came in and they kind of feel that they found out from the doctor that he did have, he was terminal. And had cancer, and they thought, well, oh, he probably wanted like suicide by cop. That's what Rafe said. And if somehow they can prove that or get a judge to see that. So then Chad was there, and they told Chad all about it. Chad was talking to Gabby about it, and he was kind of upset because he was upset that his father wouldn't tell him and that he would take, you know, that he couldn't die gracefully, whatever, that he had to take an enemy down. And he said, but then that's so like Stefano, you know, to go out in a blaze of glory and take one of his enemies down with him. He was kind of feeling like torn about that. And it's kind of interesting. Henderson came in, and because Hope shot Stefano with Beau's gun, because Rafe and Sean were saying, well, they were supposedly Hope said that Stefano offered her a gun, but there was no evidence that there was a gun anywhere, any other gun, that it was Beau's gun. So Henderson must have overheard Chad talking, and he comes in and gives Chad this box. And he said, he says, I never thought of this, but somebody came and sold this gun to your father. And he must have made the comment to the guy. So he says, the guy must have asked him, are you going to shoot or kill someone with this? And he said, no, but if I'm lucky, someone's going to kill me.
Oh, wow.
So now Chad knows that kind of this. So I'm thinking this is all going to develop into how Hope's going to get out of prison.
Like it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. So this is kind of all it is. It's kind of how it parallels life a little bit.
Really crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then and there were some good scenes with Chad and Andre about that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, Chad's kind of feeling like, we got to help Hope, get Hope out. Yeah. Of course, Andre doesn't want to hear anything about
Andre's
that.
Andre's like, oh, heck no.
He says, no. He's kind of got a point, because I'm thinking this way. She still had a choice. She still had a choice.
Right.
Not, I mean, as much goading as he did, and as much, if you're a cop, you're not supposed to do that. So he wasn't threatening. I mean, he didn't have a gun. He wasn't threatening her. He wasn't armed or anything. That was the point. Andre was trying to make the chat, you know, she had that choice. There was good scenes between Andre and Gabby too. And they were trying to,
I didn't see those.
They're getting closer. Yeah. He came in and heard.
Chad and Andre
Chad and Gabby. Chad and Gabby.
Yeah. Chad and Gabby.
Chad, Gabby, and Andre. And then Andre and Gabby. Yeah. Actually, you know, Gabby kind of really stood up to Andre. Yeah, because Chad wanted her to help him with, they're trying to matchmake with him, and he wanted to bring somebody. And so she was going to do that, and Andre didn't think that was a good idea.
Because he's trying to keep, because he knows that.
Well, of course,
he knows
Abigail
about Abby. Alive.
Right. And he says something about a next con wouldn't be very good, you know, to your associates. And more or less Gabby came back at him. She says, I'm a liability to the Damaras who do all this stuff, you know, and Stefano's done all this all the years, but you know, and they should know about the Damaras and stuff. And then he kind of more or less called her out on that. She's trying to take Abigail's place. And he kind of convinced her to stop working for Chad. Chad figures it out that, you know, good scenes between them. So, and nice scenes between Andre and Abigail. He's kind of become close to her, kind of like a brother too, in helping her out. And he's trying to encourage her to come forward.
Oh, good. So,
those were the Andre scenes this week, I think.
Yeah.
It was on
We had a couple of episodes
Good
of Kate.
Yeah.
Adrian, they had some great scenes with her finding out that she does have breast cancer. So then Lucas is, of course, torn to shreds, and he goes over to see his mom, Kate, and of course, Kate lays into him right away before she knows She's like, you know, what do you do? You know, I guess because you're here instead of on your honeymoon, that means she chose Justin. And, you know, and she's like, I could have told you. I knew that was going to happen. And she's like rattling all this judgmental stuff. And then he's like, Mom, he said she didn't choose either one of us. Said she passed out and then, you know, got her to the hospital and everything. And we found out that she has breast cancer. And she was like, oh. And so then she's like softens and she apologizes for what she said earlier. And she's, you know, I just love Kate and Lucas scenes. They're always,
those were good scenes.
Brian and Lauren are always so good. Yeah. And so she basically, you know, she recalled that she, you know, she'd had cancer and that she got through it and that Adrian was going to too and everything. And at the end of that episode, you know, Adrian's basically laying in a hospital bed and Kate comes in. They're playing this music. Oh my gosh. It was like they were showing all these scenes. You know how sometimes a soap will do a song at the end? They'll play a song at the end and it's like all these scenes with the different characters. And at the end, Kate walks into Adrian's hospital room, and you could tell the way Judy played it. It was funny because you could tell she was probably thinking, "Is Kate going to put a pillow over my face or what?" You know, like
yeah, she looked a little scared at
first. Actually, scared, like what?
A little leery.
What's
yeah.
Kate going to do? Yeah, like I could totally see her putting
Bring
a
her
pillow
brownies.
Over my head right now, my face right now. Yeah.
Did she have brownies in her purse?
Because of what I did to Lucas, you know, is what she's thinking. And Judy played that to the max. It was great. And then Kate came over and, you know, Adrian's still looking kind of scared. And she just like puts her hand in her hand and squeezes it and all. And it was like, whoa, you know, and meanwhile, the music's still playing. And then then Adrian's look changed and Kate's looking at her. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. So, and then on Friday, Kate has a date with Eduardo. Ooh, they're hot. And she's hot with Andre, too. I'm like, hey, let's just go back and forth. I don't care. She's like fun singer with both. But Eduardo's really trying to court her, and so to speak. And she was kind of in a somber mood because of Adrian. And she kind of opens up to him. She goes, you know, I should have told you earlier that, you know, not in a good place right now. And, you know, I just found out that Adrian Kyriakos, you know, and he knew that Lucas was going to marry her, you know, at some point, that, you know, that she has cancer and, you know, and he's like, oh, wow, you know, he responds to it and everything. And then she said, there's something else I need to tell you. She said, 8 years ago, I had stage 4 lung cancer. And she said, you know, so then they had this great dialogue about, oh, it becoming part of her. And of course, based on things that have happened in my life in the last year and a half, it was like all this cancer talk was like, oh, you know, but it was really touching. And she says, yeah, you know, I got, and he says, but you survived, you made it through, you came out ahead, you know, or whatever. And she was saying something about how it's always a part of her now, or it's just a part of her now, you know, that history. And, you know, but anyway, it was just really good. And then they kissed a couple of times and it was really nice. Mm-hmm. I like the way they're doing the slow burn romance on that. They just haven't hopped in the sack, you know. I like the way they're kind of developing.
And I like how they're like, okay, because now Kate's with the Damaras and now Eduardo's starting this business with Dario. And of course, he's now, this plays into, Kate doesn't know it yet, but Eduardo and Dario have these knockoff purses, and what they're smuggling inside these purses are these microchips they stole from the Damaras. So
I didn't realize
so
that.
Here
so
you,
funny.
You didn't know that? Okay, that's what's going on there, because
I knew it was something
we found
in the purses,
that out.
But I didn't realize.
There are these microchips. And Eduardo has this big factory or this whatever these microchips are for. But now there's one microchip missing because Gabby has the purse, because she ran into Dario and he had all these purses in a bag and he dropped one. And so he can't tell her what they are. She thought it was a Christmas gift for her. So he said, so he kind of had to let her take it. So now they have to get these microchips back before the Damaras find out. So
that's hilarious.
And Dario doesn't like Gabby being with Chad because of this rival thing. So he's trying to discourage Gabby from Chad. And so when he's talking to Gabby here, Abigail, he finds out. Did you see the scenes where he finds out about Abigail?
And, no.
Well, that kind of goes back to another story where Abigail's hiding in the attic and Doug and Jolie come and they're putting up Christmas lights. So Jolie says, oh, we'll have to go upstairs in the attic to get the Christmas lights. So Abigail climbs out the window but falls down, climbs outside. So then they lock the door and they lock her out. So she's locked out of the house. And she goes down to the – why she went down to the docks, I don't know. But anyway, so Dario finds her hiding there. And he's there like, what are you doing, dude? You know, Chad wants to see you and all this. And she said, and she knows about the microchip because she overheard. So now she can go to Chad, though. So they both have a secret. So it's one of these blackmailing, like, if you tell Chad I'm alive, I'm going to tell him about the microchip and the person. So anyway, there's where we are with
that. That's funny.
Then with Abigail, you know, I can like, come on, will you just tell Chad already? You know, this, and then Jennifer has had enough.
Yeah, one of those stories. Yeah.
Did you see the scenes with Abigail and Jennifer?
Uh-uh.
So she comes, after she comes home, she tells Jennifer, well, Dario knows now. And Jennifer says, this is enough, Abigail. I've had enough.
Yeah.
You're going to tell Chad. I don't want to hear this anymore. You've hurt a lot of people. I know you didn't mean to. And she says, it was just like your father. Jack, your dad, pretended he was dead. She's trying to get her to see how that hurt all of them. And Jack thought he was doing it to protect us. And So it ended Friday where now she's ready. She says she's ready to tell Chad. So, but it's probably right when she's probably going to see them kissing or something. I don't know what's coming up next week. But yeah, that's where we are with that. So. So I don't know. Is there anything else that you, any of stories or things that you've seen that you wanted to, anybody want to talk about?
No. Carrie, did you have anything?
I don't know. I think Carrie might not be feeling good. I know she's sick.
She's been sick.
Yeah. She kind of left them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she kind of left the message. So she can hear us, I'm sure. I think she's just listening right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I don't really. I did notice that Cassie and Paimo is back.
That was
Friday.
A surprise.
And that's also kind of bizarre with all this talk of cancer. And didn't she in real life get diagnosed like after she came back to the show? Has anybody heard how she's doing?
No, I haven't. I haven't. So I don't know. But now you got to remember how long ago that was. I mean, we're seeing her now, but that was from 4 or 5 months ago.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, she came back to when she heard about Teresa leaving Brady and kind of had a pep talk with Brady. So Brady's going through a lot of stuff. There's some good scenes
really,
with Brady and Justin and the family and stuff.
And then Paul. Brady and Paul had some good scenes and stuff too. Where he was like, can I do anything? I heard that Teresa left. He's like, and then Brady said something like, yeah, I know a little bit about, he goes, I'm just thinking about raising my son without his mother and not having a mother. And he goes, I know a little bit about that. Only in my case, my mother didn't choose to leave. She died.
True. Yeah.
So
yeah, she died.
Brady.
Yeah.
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 So it wasn't her choice.
Those were
So those were pretty powerful, I thought.
Yeah. I don't know. Teresa might just be back. Jen Lilly just might be back.
Yeah.
I kind of heard something out there that she might be back.
I
don't know.
Yeah. So she'll probably, and that'll create some drama with, probably about the time Brady moves on. You know how that goes. And then Chloe.
That's another storyline.
What's her mom came and met with Philip.
Right.
And Philip's like told her that he's in love with Chloe and he wants to talk to her again about it and all that stuff. And
and
she, he, I guess,
and
they're Damo, not sure that she's gonna. Yeah, has Deimos figured this out?
Deimos has figured it out because Nicole told him about her and she had never told. She told him about her and Daniel trying to have a baby with Chloe, and it didn't work.
Oh.
And now he's thinking.
Has
he's
he
kind
not,
of thinking,
not
putting
so
two together.
But Nicole hasn't connected the dots?
No, she hasn't yet. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But he had. So he overhears Philip talking to Chloe's mom.
Yeah, somebody or something, yeah.
And he has Philip kidnapped, and he has him tied up. So
oh, my gosh.
I guess he's
I didn't know that.
Probably beat the truth out of him. Funny. I don't know. Philip's sitting there with his shirt off. You know,
oh, my gosh,
that
that's funny.
There was a reason to have his he had to take his shirt off. So.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, so now Deimos is kind of putting two to two together. Oh, I bet you this is, I wonder if, you know. So, that's what's kind of going on there. And then we have the whole Hope in prison with Hattie.
Hey, Hattie.
And Mr. Roman, I guess Mr. Roman. I think there's going to be some scenes with Roman and Marlena.
Oh,
it's going to be so funny because, you know, it's Roman and Marlena, but
yes.
It's Roman and Hattie, with her and Deidre. So that should be fun.
That's
and
so
I'm glad
funny.
They're doing. And I think Deidre Hall's doing a good job as Hattie because
is.
It was the role
yeah.
her sister played, but now she's playing it. And it's
that was
she
hilarious
gets the kind
the
of be.
I've seen so far.
Yeah, she gets to be that kind of a quirky character, unlike so much unlike Marlena. So,
right.
I think that's kind of fun to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed that. I have to admit. I've just seen bits and pieces of things along the way, but I'm gonna try to go back and get caught up on the full episodes. But it's like. I've enjoyed that. That was cute. And
yeah.
Mr. Roman,
and
that was hilarious when she
Mr.
called
Mr. Roman,
that.
I know. Yeah. So maybe there'll be something between Roman and Hattie, which would be
that would be funny.
Yeah, that would be funny, yeah. So
maybe they would actually have chemistry because that Roman and Marlena don't have
that Roman
really
and
have
Marlena
chemistry,
don't.
But,
no.
But
but I could see maybe Hattie and Roman. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Possibly. Yeah. It could happen.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you were talking about Adrian and Lucas and
Justin
and all being in the room together.
Yeah.
And,
and then
Justin
like
and Nate,
Justin
Lucas going at it.
Brady. Yeah. And Justin.
Uh-huh.
And then Justin admitted to Brady that he was the one that kept kind of kind of discouraging Adrian from getting more tests and stuff because he was afraid.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even though she had her free will to do it, I think she was kind of insecure,
mm-hmm.
like, well, maybe he won't love me if I have cancer or whatever, you know. So she put off doing her exams even after she tested positive for the BRCA gene. And so, anyway.
Yeah,
so
there was good
that
scenes
dynamic.
Between them, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then poor Lucas.
I know. But Adrian
never
still hasn't picked yet. I know.
That's true.
You know, they could fool us all, maybe. Maybe she will pick Lucas. I don't know.
So.
Well, we got a couple of callers to get on before show's over. So,
Okay.
This is Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hey there. How are you?
Hey,
you made it. Yes,
I
did.
Made it, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I
had my church concert tonight, but it was over in plenty of time.
Okay.
Oh, I was so glad to be able to call in tonight. Y'all said so much about it already, is that, you know, this is just such a personal thing by losing Joe Mescolin. I remember he and Tony from the very beginning. So, you know, and I've watched it pretty much through and through most everything. And I was just really upset. I mean, because I honestly still believed, you know, there's always the possibility that the Phoenix will come back, you know, that Stefano could step back in and realizing now that he just can't. But I think, you know, one of the things that made you know, and I think I put this on Twitter, is that I saw more heartfelt things, certainly cast of days, actually, but cast from The Bold and the Beautiful, a lot of different people who have really just, it's just been an outpouring of you know,
yes.
of condolences and happy memories of Joe Mascola as Stefano or as Massimo.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like, you know, in a way, this is more of an outpouring than Agnes Nixon got or Claire Levine. You know, we've had
yeah.
some huge people in daytime that have
uh-huh.
passed away this year. But I think, you know, because we continue to see Stefano on our air,
right.
you know, on the air,
right.
You know, and there's not much that I can say is positive of having them filmed 6 or 7 months in advance. But I do have, we do have the benefit
wait,
of the fact
wait,
that
wait, let me record this.
Yes.
let me get this on tape.
But, you know, that is one point. It's one thing that has been, you know, a positive is that we had the
yeah.
opportunity to continue to see him, you know, even after he had gotten more ill, I guess. But I think
yeah.
it's amazing, and I still can't get over the fact that they're saying, I think I heard Marianne say this at the top of the hour, is that, you know, that he had been suffering with this for 4 years.
Yeah.
He's had some tremendous
yeah.
performances in the
oh,
last 4 years. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I do think he did a great job in the very final scene with Hope. But,
uh-huh.
I mean, and there have been a few in there, I think, especially with Chad, that may or may not have been absolutely,
yeah.
he may not have been at his best.
Sure.
But, I mean, there were fantastic scenes with he and James Scott
yeah.
in 2012, uh-huh. even in 2013, you know, the scene where EJ has to kiss the ring and go back and beg for,
mm-hmm.
you know, mercy for Samantha.
Yeah.
I mean, those were fantastic scenes. And
yeah.
to imagine that man was suffering with Alzheimer's just shows
yeah.
you what fortitude and what a talent
yeah.
that man had
yeah.
to be able to do that. Even
absolutely.
In the midst of all of that. So, like
yeah.
I said, my heart's broken because I will miss Stefano.
Yeah.
My grandmother, who died in 1991,
oh.
only, you know, loved Stefano. My granny was the sweetest lady in the whole wide world and did not have a mean bone in her body, but she loved to watch Stefano. And, you know, in high school, when I was first in high school, around, you know, I 82 or so, we didn't have a VCR at my house, and so my VCR recap, Diva recap, was with my granny, and I would call and talk to her every day when I, you know, in the afternoon or early evening, and
uh-huh.
she would give me the recap of the day, and her whole, I can still, there's not a lot of her voice that I can still remember, but I do remember this precious, sweet little voice of my grandmother saying, Oh, that's Stefano. And so, it just, you know, I thought about her and I thought, gosh, they're all in heaven now together.
Yeah.
And so she can now really get to know the real Joe Mascola who entertained her because, like I said, she loved him and she loved, you know, she just loved to get upset with him. And again, the show really has focused so much on the DiMera family. I know the Horton family. Yeah, there are a lot of fundamental foundational families on that show. But
uh-huh.
I think that the DiMeras have been so interesting for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to Pat Falk and Smith, who originally started up the DiMeras and who cast Joe and cast, I guess she cast Teo too. And, you know, and created those characters. So I just, like I said, we have a lot to be thankful
yeah.
for. There's not that many television programs
uh-huh.
where you get to watch somebody for 30 years.
So true.
And
so true.
So like I said, he will be missed.
Yeah.
I hope somebody said this on one of the boards that I was looking at, and it said that they were hoping that maybe even if they didn't care what day is cut off at the end of the show Monday or Tuesday, but to actually take some time. And, of course, everybody's on hiatus, which is a problem, too, you know, right now because
mm-hmm.
the cast is not there,
mm-hmm.
to actually do some type of tribute. But I'm hoping maybe the talk, you know, the CBS show, because it's owned by Sony, and he was a part of the indie. Because there are actors that are probably still in Hollywood, not necessarily on vacation somewhere, that would be willing to come in and for them to actually, because there are so many great stories. You heard the stories about how Joe would serve, and I don't know the aperitif, but some type of after-dinner drink of some sort that's very expensive, that he kept his own bottle on the set of the Demira Mansion. You know, and at the end of a week or whatever, he would have, you know, the cast and the crew or whatever come over and have a little drink. I mean, I just think, he is so beloved that stories like that would be just gold for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think it would do Days of Our Lives some positive good, too, because, again, it shows that, you know, not that, you know, people are still very loyal to some of those characters. A lot of us may not care a hoot about some of the stories they're telling right now. Some of them are okay. Some of them are not so great. But the history is still there, and losing a major character like that, I think it would show some real class on Days of Our Lives, NBC, CBS, whoever would step up and do it, because I think it would be a great show. And the last thing I'll mention is that, and I did post this, We Love Soaps TV, that sort of that historical website, did a great interview with Joe in 2008. There's also a good interview that Jamie Giddens and those did on Daytime Confidential around that same time. But the one that from We Love Soaps, he talked about how people had asked him to write a memoir and how he had thought about it. And I just thought to myself when I watched that again, I thought, oh, how I wish you had done that. And, you know, and there's always the hope that maybe he did leave notes or something for his wife or something. It would be, because he led a fascinating life, and y'all were right, too. His parents were at least 100 or over 100 when they died,
and were married 80
years. That's why I kept thinking, Joe's not really going to die. Joe's got another 25 years on him to go, you know, because his parents did. But anyway, like I said, it's a tremendous loss. We're all going to love him. I thought James Scott's statement on Twitter was wonderful. I thought that was very heartwarming. And I just, like I said, it just made me long for the full Demira family to come back together again.
Yeah. I know. Cleo and Lauren have both posted things on their respective tweets and Facebook and stuff.
And Facebook.
Sweet Prince. Good night, Sweet Prince. That was so sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you really shared.
I got another call.
Sharing what you did, Angela, because that was really, really.
I'm
going to
bring
well
on
said.
Another caller, too. I think it's Bobby. Okay. He probably wants to say something, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to
Hi, Bobby.
Hello?
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, it's just me.
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to say, as I said on Daytime at the Dark with Carly last night, with Maggie and David, it's just a horrible loss to lose him. And John Glenn, almost exactly the same day. But I was just writing to Eileen Davidson about an hour ago to ask her about her favorite moments. So and I even stated that when Billy Flynn comes to the A's event in Charlotte in April, I might have to ask him about his favorite moment, also as with Joseph, because this is definitely going to be definitely a loss. And I just find it kind of ironic here for two reasons. That one, with what's going on right now, if it weren't for the 6 hour in advance, not 6 hours, 6 weeks in advance, they could have just done this 2-3 weeks earlier. Or even if NBC decided to increase ratings, just done a live show, and this could have been just done instantly. Because, I mean, I don't know how the West Coast viewers would have just felt this being actual breaking news for the Friday show, but that's something that they could have easily worked into. Now, like you guys said earlier, it would be interesting to see if there's any tribute shows. But my idea, and I don't know if they want to break the rule of the 6 months off, if they want to just have a tribute show similar to what YNR did with when Gene Cooper died, just have the stars come out of character to reminisce about the times with Joseph. Because when I think back to 6 months ago when they did the Stefano tribute, if they had done this right now, that could have been an actual live show right there, if it weren't for the 6 month deal.
Yeah, that would be nice if they did some kind of. I'm sure they'll say something on Monday, even if it's
right.
Something at the end of the show. I'm sure they'll do something.
Right. But going back to some interesting things I've seen on Days, I think Julie Evans, Melissa Reed, and Ariana Zucker, and especially Ariana from what I saw on Thursday show, if they haven't been locked up for daytime Emmy nomination, they ought to be considered a daytime Emmy nomination, considering right there, especially with Ari because of her performance on Thursday and the way that she was emotional towards the end. That should give her, I don't know if that's going to lock her up with daytime Emmy, but at least a nomination right there. Because she had done her best, and it's great to see her back on the show, because I was wondering what happened to Nicole. I just thought maybe the whole Trump scandal maybe just ran Aaron Zucker off the show for temporary purposes, but I knew it wasn't that. But because it was 6 months ago. Now I did, however, on a funnier note, if I can bring some humor to it, thought that maybe having Ariana Zucker, having Ariana Zucker on Saturday Night Live and having her confront Alan Baldwin as Trump, because that would be a hilarious SNL scene I would love to see.
The whole area. Oh. Yeah, from the video from before. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I won't be surprised.
Other things that I just thought I find interesting that I haven't caught up is that it was just great to just actually. I mean, even though here in Raleigh we didn't get the show Friday because there was a Colts telephone. And I was trying to look at what channel it was on so I can record it. And by the time I got all these complaints off of Facebook, off of the Facebook page for the Raleigh station, it was like 1:30, and I thought, well, there's no sense of recording a half hour of it. But I just felt very upset that I couldn't watch it on Friday. But I will just tell you one thing that's going to happen with this whole with this thing with Gabby. One way or another, Chad's going to find out either about the purses from Dario or her in the next few weeks, or Abigail is going to just catch them making out or something, and why would that be set up for something interesting down the road? Not to mention, where does JJ would fit in this whole love triangle?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking Abigail might find... Gabby and Chad together before she gets to tell him. So, yeah.
Right. Because she can't hide out any longer because I've seen this happen in General Hospital with Brenda. And I saw this on All My Children with Dixie. And most recently this happened on Young and Restless with Adam. I don't want this to be kind of a hiding out situation where we wait 2-3 months, especially towards February right now. And seeing what go on then. But I know with a lot of things coming up that will probably preempt Days, possibly with the Winter Classic coming up on January 2nd, and with Trump being inaugurated as president on the 20th. I don't know when the inauguration is because I don't keep up that much with politics. I think it's the 20th. It's going to be interesting to see how they resolve this before the preemptions come on January 2nd and on the day that Trump gets inaugurated. But I just wanted to say just that it's sad to just lose a legend like Joseph. And I don't know if it has been ever done before in the prime time or even daytime where a actor would get nominated when he had died for Emmy and or won or lost. The only person I can think of that, other than Jeannie Cooper, that would have kind of pulled this beat off was Josh Evans back when he was a little boy on Passions. Because that's the only guy that I think was, because I don't even know if he was ever nominated after he died or not.
Was Joe ever nominated? Probably not. There's a lot. I don't think he ever was.
Right.
Joe, I don't think.
Right. Mm-hmm. But even in the standalone episode that had Aiden and Chad, this could be possibly possibly something that the Emmy Committee could look into, even though he's dead. And I, like I said, I don't know how many times this has happened in prime time, let alone in the daytime Emmys, for something like this to happen. But this is something that maybe, you know, the Emmy Committee could look at and just wonder, we just award this person the Lifetime Achievement Award and a Emmy, even though they're dead, or and who would get it, or who would represent it.
Yeah, I think they have done that. I think Charietta Bauer, I didn't watch the program, but I think one of the ladies from Guiding Light got a posthumous award, and they have issued posthumous Oscars. People have gotten nominated after they died.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, because I know in Milton this has happened a few times, because I think Amy Winehouse and Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston, I think, all got nominated for posthumous for Emmys when they died in the last few years. And I'm sure that, and I think that's another good example right there of what I'm just thinking about. With those three names, who had died in 2009, 2000, and 2012. I'm just thinking about those three names right there.
Yeah, definitely the Hall of Fame, whatever the, you know, the Lifetime Achievement Award, I think he definitely deserves that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but I was seeing on Twitter all these comments about Long Live the From the Stars, and I really agree with Jen and agree with Molly about what they said about him, and I'm sure Billy will, because I tweeted him about his thoughts and how he would be missed, and hopefully when I see him in Charlotte on the 22nd of April next year, I probably might just bring that up as briefly and just say what was his favorite moments with him and everything else. But other than that, I look forward to maybe hopefully talking to you all next week, and hopefully, barring, of course, what happens on Friday show, as President Trump, as far as our president or Trump possibly coming in with their year-end speeches like they always does, hopefully Days will air in its entirety or not get preempted on the East Coast.
Yeah, you never know.
I know that they're talking, because I know that we have one of the directors and producers from General Hospital on daytime at Dark a few weeks ago. They were saying that that they're scheduled to run a rerun of General Hospital on December 23rd, but it could be possible that could turn into a new episode if the president comes on and preempts the General Hospital hour on Friday. So that could be interesting right there. But hopefully it won't happen. Hopefully there'll be something said. So I'll just keep my news feed handy just in case, so I can take notes from what's going on down there, so I can be prepared to either stop my DVR or anything like that. But you all have a great night. And
you too.
And
thanks.
You all take care. All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bye-bye.
I actually want to cut in for a second. Tom Cassiello tweeted 2 hours ago, and we interviewed Tom. He's a scriptwriter from Days, and I think he also did a few other soaps, and he was with the WWE for a few years. But just recently, actually, I think yesterday it came out, he got his position got eliminated with WWE. But he wrote this, I know, but tell him about the fact, he's awesome. He wrote, in other news, I've been on the emotional roller coaster when it comes to Joe Mascolo today. I was really bummed this morning. He was awesome to talk to when I was at Days, but then I remembered who he was, how much he knew how to live. More than most people, he had an awesome life, hard not to find a smile, and there, Godspeed, Phoenix.
Aww.
That's really nice.
Aww.
And I want to add to 2 years ago, Sherry Henry and Kerry Sachs interviewed Joe Mascolo and Billy Joe for us. So
yes.
I put that on the blog.
Oh, great.
So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, that's on the blog. Okay.
Yeah, and Joe was pretty funny. He did most of the talking. I don't think Billy Flynn really said anything at all.
Poor Billy. He does an interview with Joe Mascola and does all the talking, and then he's paired with Teo, and he doesn't get a chance to talk either. So.
Yeah.
But I think this year he was Carmilla.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's with Camila. Yeah. And then we didn't get to talk to Billy this year. That's we didn't get Billy, Camila, and Deidre this year.
Okay.
Yeah, they ran out of time.
Yeah.
They ran out of time in those three. But it was funny in the beginning of the interview. And like it's at the blog dlovedual.com. Or you can even do search of our interviews here on Blog Talk Radio. If you just do a search of Joe Mascolo, it should pull up. And it's turned off. He's like just asking the girls, you know, who are you with and, you know, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, we're from Diva Duel. Carrie lives on, you know, the other coast and she can't make it. And then we're doing interviews for her. And he said something like, well, I hope she appreciates it or something like that.
That's cute. And then didn't we do one with State? Did we have Joe and Lauren on together one time? I think
no.
We did. Oh,
I don't think
we
ever had Joe.
Oh,
we never had Joe.
That would have been the dream interview there. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking we were going to do. That's right. Okay. I guess we didn't. Okay.
Yeah, probably one of
them. Isn't there some type of interview? Maybe it seems like there was something. I don't know where or when, but
something
together.
I know one of the websites did a Valentine's Day one for that with them. I can't remember which one. It's one of the ones you would know.
Okay.
I just can't think of the name. Maybe SON or I'm not sure. But anyway, but I was thinking we had done one too, but maybe not. Okay. Guess not.
I don't
remember
having him on.
I
don't know.
I guess not. Maybe
no, I don't
wishful
think so.
Thinking.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway. Hi. Well, thanks.
Any other? I think we covered mostly everything on the show this week and talked about Joe, so.
Yeah.
Anything
okay.
else?
What,
any other final thoughts? Angela?
One thing I was going to say is that there was a nice tweet or response back from Peter Reckle. I think because of that Soap Opera Digest poll, he was voted as the character, even over my precious EJ. He was voted even above him
to come back,
to be the character that they would want to come back. And, of course, he said that he's very happy here in Nashville, and he's happy to be here with his family. And so, you know, he's not looking to go back, but that he was humbled so much that the fans still are so fond of him. And I thought that was a nice thing, too.
Aww,
I guess even though I had voted, of course, for James Scott, but I would love to see Bo back as well. But but I thought that was really sweet. But I guess
I think
we all can have. I like what Carrie was saying about what Tom Castiel. I haven't seen that, but you know, he did live a very full life, and that's why I wish he had written a memoir, because I really think it would have just been fascinating reading. His whole life would have been fascinating. But anyway, like I said, it's been a big week, even though we didn't know what was going to be. I guess we never, you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
You never know. And another note,
like
on Soap Opera Digest,
they're doing
different polls, and for 2016, Teo Pangloss got for 2016 Scene Stealer.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was.
They didn't have a
nice little
category for Schitster.
No. Yeah. Well, it's almost the same thing, I guess. But yeah. So, that too.
That's also real life too.
Yeah, that's real life too. Yeah, even more so, I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess they have different things for different categories for the year for different, soaps and actors and
stuff.
Yeah. So.
And that's the issue that's out right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Well,
well, thanks everyone.
Glad you were able to call in, Angela and Bobby.
Hopefully, we can do it next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
before the holidays, I guess.
Yeah. Take care.
Fast protein.
Take care.
Stay warm.
Okay.
Stay warm.
All right.
Bye.
Okie dokie.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.